An update on a significant power outage keeping local businesses in the dark for hours.
We're all brothers in this.
And WRAL was there for a fallen soldier's return to North Carolina. The emotional homecoming.
She took out an inch of my hairline.
A substitute teacher caught on video fighting with a student responds for the first time since being charged with assault.
A new WRAL weather alert day has been issued for your weekend. I'll show you who's under the threat for severe weather and when.
Right now, a section of Johnston County is in the dark after a crash caused a power outage. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. We're talking traffic lights are out, shopping centers, other businesses right in the heart of downtown Smithfield. All of them impacted. WRAL's Eric Miller is live in that area. Eric, crews are working to get the power back on right now. Do we have any sort of timeline?
Dan, the best estimate we've heard is that the folks in the dark here, they should have their lights back on in the next hour. We know crews are working hard on it right now. You take a look at some of this video, you can actually see them on the job. This is on Hospital Road, right next to the local UNC Hospital here in Smithfield. We know this crash happened right around 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's not clear what caused it, but folks we've talked to in businesses in the area, they heard a loud bang, and then the lights went out. We're still working to learn if there were any injuries there, but it has been a lot of cleanup for these folks and a lot of headaches for the folks in Smithfield. The outage seems to be contained to the area along North Brightleaf Boulevard, north of East Market Street. And businesses are with or without power in a very haphazard way. There are some spots here, literally businesses next door to each other. One may have power, one may not have power. You know, looking behind me here at this intersection, this is North Brightleaf Boulevard at Hospital Road. You can see there's a traffic light here. A Smithfield police officer on the scene helping direct traffic. Again, we're hoping to have this situation resolved within the next hour. But again, problematic for folks in this area. We'll be keeping an eye on it and bring you updates as it changes. Back to you.
All right, Eric Miller, live for us in Smithfield. Thanks, Eric.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center. Right now at 7 o'clock, we just received the letter from Duke University Health System about the three top-level executives forced right out the door, effective immediately. Here's part of the statement just released into the Live Center new at 7. After a thorough assessment of Duke Regional Hospital's performance over the past year, I have determined the need for transformation, which requires making several leadership changes. This coming from the CEO. It goes on to name the three people. It says Jonathan Hoy, Vicky Orto, and Mitch Babb, so the CFO, CNO, and COO, will be stepping down from their roles effective immediately. A lot going on with the story, a lot to unpack. Still a lot of unanswered questions, like what exactly went wrong, according to the CEO, to force these three people to step down effective here this evening. We'll continue to push for those answers here in the Live Center. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. The body of 25-year-old Staff Sergeant Caleb Gore is back in North Carolina and heading to his final resting place. He was one of 9 U.S. soldiers killed when 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed over Kentucky last month. WRAL's Shelley Jackson was at RDU this evening for the Wayne County soldiers' somber homecoming.
It's a sad homecoming for Staff Sergeant Caleb Gore. His body departed on the final leg of his journey home this afternoon. Gore was killed last month during a training exercise. Today, his body returning to North Carolina. He was met here at RDU by his family. Gore and his wife are expecting their first child this fall. Also in attendance, dozens of members of the Patriot Guard. These former veterans don't know Gore or his family.
It's an honor we have for each other because we put on the uniform.
It's something we do when we're called. It's something we get it from our heart to do. It's all, it means so much to us. I'm a fellow veteran. I'm a fellow Marine. And we're all brothers in this.
His father says Caleb couldn't wait to join the Army. He was pursuing his dream when 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed near Fort Campbell in March.
It means a lot to be able to take this soldier on his final mission.
Back home in Moorhead City, his family is planning a private ceremony. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
A downtown Raleigh grocery store owner charged with stabbing a customer to death is being held without bond. 60-year-old Tazir Zarco was arrested last night. He's charged with murdering 27-year-old Mark Garrity Jr. inside Zarco's store on Wilmington Street April 6th. Zarka had been questioned by police but wasn't charged until last night. Witnesses tell WRAL that Zarka accused Garrity of shoplifting. A fight broke out, and they saw Zarka stab Garrity several times. Garrity's family says they are relieved with today's arrest.
For the first time in 14 days, we have hope. Hope and trusting in the system and the process.
Zarka will be back in court on May 11th. All right, you might have to reshape your weekend plans. We're tracking a risk of severe storms for our entire viewing area this weekend, and that's why we're issuing a WRAL weather alert day for Saturday. Meteorologist Mike Mays in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking this threat for us and working out the timing, Mike.
Dan, now that we have high-resolution model data to look at, we're getting a better idea of what we could possibly see Saturday, which would be afternoon thunderstorms that could be severe. We have a level 1 and 2 risk. Damaging winds, hail, those threats. Here's the outline. If you're watching along and east of I-95, you're under that level 2 threat. Damaging winds, hail, maybe even an isolated, weak, brief tornado in this region. That's not the case for the triangle area in west, which is in a level 1 threat. Damaging winds, hail can't be ruled out. Now, in the morning on Saturday, we do have the potential for showers, maybe a storm, not likely to be severe. And then we have a broken line coming in. Not all that great of a chance for it to be severe here in the triangle, but look how, as it moves east of the triangle, the line congeals, is more formed, has the better potential to have a stronger severe storm and maybe an isolated tornado, and then Saturday night looks pretty good. We're going to take a look at how much rain we could see from this, Dan, coming up.
Telling my boys, I don't know if that T-ball game Saturday night's going to work out. Yeah, we'll figure it out, though, Mike. All right, thanks.
Today, the substitute teacher seen in this video is telling her side of the story. A video shows a fight between her and a Rocky Mount High School student this week. Xavier Steele shared a video on Facebook explaining what happened. WRAL's Chris Lovingood is here now to talk more about this, and Chris Steele is defending her actions.
Well, over the course of almost 13 minutes, Deborah, she and the student are charged with assault, and we talked with her directly today, but she declined an interview. But in that Facebook video, still available for anyone to watch, she showed the space on her head where she says the student ripped out her hair. She also said after more than 20 years, she is leaving her career in teaching. Now, as for the fight, she said she followed protocol and even tried to call for a school administrator.
Never in my 22 years working with young people have I ever been attacked. But let me tell you something. Within a month, there has been a teacher that was knocked unconscious with her head kicked in. Twice, two teachers. Another teacher got a gun pulled on her.
Now, I did reach out to Nash County Public Schools to verify the claims that she just made there. I'm just waiting to hear back. The fight started after the student's phone was confiscated, and then, again, this video, things escalated there. Nash County Public Schools has a policy granting an employee the ability to, quote, reasonably restrain the student and defend themselves to the point they are free of the threat or attack. And, of course, we'll be staying a little bit more on this to see what might come from it after seeing this video go viral online, Deborah.
Chris Lovingood, thank you.
This vague threat that this is the same as HB2 and the business community is going to somehow retaliate against North Carolina. I just do not believe that is true.
The Republican majority leader in the state Senate there calling on businesses to strengthen their backs against threats of a backlash over controversial bills involving the LGBTQ community. The state, of course, saw that in 2016 with HB2, the so-called bathroom bill. The state lost billions of dollars in business by one estimate. WRL's Matt Talhelm asked some of the Triangle's biggest companies for their reaction to these latest bills.
This time around, the business community is staying pretty quiet about what's happening inside the legislature here on Jones Street.
But this is not who North Carolina is. Those on Jones Street may have lost sight of that.
Kate Kimber is president of Harmony NC, the Chamber of Commerce representing LGBTQ-owned businesses and their allies.
When you start adding in all of these elements that make people feel unwelcomed, you're driving people away.
Kimber says the state risks losing more business because of this latest wave of bills, including a ban on transgender athletes in female sports and criminalizing drag shows.
When you're talking real dollars, you really start to see that grow and impact individual households in North Carolina, whether or not you agree with the legislative actions or not.
WREL asked some of the biggest chambers of commerce for their stance on these bills. The president of the Cary Chamber told us, "I do not have any statement on this at this time." We got a similar response from the Raleigh Chamber. We also reached out to all these businesses, some of the largest private employers and companies with headquarters in the Triangle. None responded. WREL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie says, unlike with HB 2, North Carolina is not an outlier with these latest bills.
It's very hard for businesses to pick one out and say, well, we're going to target this one for, you know, we're going to cancel this state or whatever. You can't do that when half the states are doing the same thing.
Why do you think that we don't hear many of these big companies taking a stance right now?
A lot of people are afraid. They're afraid of what might happen to their bottom line.
Susie Silver with the Diversity Movement helps companies of every size become more diverse and inclusive places to work. She says these bills threaten businesses in the state and their ability to recruit employees.
They're looking for inclusive organizations. They're looking for environments with activities that are inclusive for their kids or for their family members, and they may go to a different state.
Matt Tallhelm, WREL News, Raleigh.
Meantime, the statewide NC Chamber points us to a generic statement on its 2023 legislative agenda. It urges lawmakers to consider sensitive and controversial issues with, quote, balance, respect, and an eye on maintaining North Carolina's status as a top state to live and work.
No matter if you're a renter or maybe looking to buy a house, it's no secret prices are way up. A new bill in the General Assembly aims to help. It would let homeowners build a second tiny home in their yard to rent out or let family members move into, although most cities already ban that. For more on what state lawmakers are doing on affordable housing, visit the NC Capitol section of WREL.com. Still ahead, some big changes coming to a terminal at RDU. Why dozens of workers will lose their jobs soon coming up. Plus, the man who has been at the helm of our area's Red Cross chapter for decades, bringing relief to countless families in their time of need, is moving on to his next chapter. A live interview with him ahead of his retirement after the break.
Live from WREL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WREL News, coverage you can count on.
From donating blood to teaching you CPR and being there for families after a disaster, the American Red Cross does it all. For the past 20 years, Barry Porter has been the CEO of the Eastern North Carolina chapter, leading the way to help thousands of people in their time of need. Next week, he retires, but not before a big send-off. And Barry joins us now live. Barry, thanks so much for being with us. You have been in service for 43 years. That's amazing dedication. Anyone who knows you never want to talk about yourself. But can you reflect on some of what you're so proud of when it comes to the Red Cross?
Yeah, I'll try to without being too emotional, Deborah. But, you know, it's the people that I've gotten the opportunity to work with who give their time, talent and treasure with really often no consideration of recognition or remuneration, of whether it's to a disaster event or somebody who's showing up at the last minute to make a life-saving blood donation or someone who's serving our nation's military. It is just a delight to work with people. And that's been my joy in this role as the leader of the Red Cross, this membership organization that brings together the community to alleviate and prevent human suffering in the face of emergencies.
You know, Barry, we often show the disasters on TV, but we don't often talk to the people who are in the middle of the crisis. After that first day, tell us some of the feedback you received from the people you've helped.
You know, it's really touching. It brings the mission to life for our staff and volunteers, and particularly for myself. When I've sat and talked to families who share that, you know, they didn't think anyone was going to be there for them. Our most common disaster is single family fires, and it happens 4 to 5 times in the viewing area each and every day. And we get there to provide comfort, hope, direct financial assistance. So when you talk to those families and you hear, they didn't know that anyone was really going to care. And that's what the Red Cross really provides often, is hope and care and the fact that somebody is reaching out through the volunteers that we put into play.
It's incredible work. Barry, what are your plans after next week?
Well, whatever my wife tells me, that's the first one. She retired from teaching for many, many years as well. We have a new granddaughter as well, is only 3 months old. So I'm trying to figure it out. But one of the things I do know, Deborah, I've started with the Red Cross as a volunteer out of college or in college, and I'll return to some volunteer role with the Red Cross and then look for other opportunities to serve the community as I have been doing for 43 years through the Red Cross.
Well, we so appreciate all of your service that you've done, and we know that people can show their appreciation to you with a party next week. We have information on how to do that on WREL.com. So, Barry Porter, CEO of the Eastern North Carolina American Red Cross, can't wait to catch up with you and give that grandbaby a kiss for us. And thank you again for all you do.
Thanks, Deborah. It's been a great partnership with WREL and serving the community.
Thank you, Barry.
Congratulations. You're looking live right now over RDU. Pretty nice day. What a gorgeous day we've had. Some changes, though, coming to Terminal 1, including some layoffs to tell you about. A concession company that was working in the terminal lost its contract with the airport. So that means about 66 workers will lose their jobs. Cooks and bartenders and wait staff and more will be let go. The move will take effect on June 17th. Avelo Airlines is adding a new nonstop flight out of RDU International. This morning, the airline announced nonstop flights to Delaware's Wilmington Airport. Avelo will be the first airline offering flights between RDU and Delaware. This new service begins June 22nd. Flights first took off from Raleigh from Avelo in May of last year, one of the newer airlines working out of RDU. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us now. So I was just mentioning the gorgeous look outside. Wow, wow. Beaufort. Oh, my goodness. Beaufort never disappoints, does it? But we are going to see some changes as we approach the weekend. We have some nastier weather moving through.
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, we have to talk about the threat for severe weather coming on Saturday from this system. In fact, we've been tracking this all week when it was just a little bit of energy moving into Seattle. Now it's a full-fledged storm system, produced severe weather yesterday across the plains, reports of hail. Oh my gosh, over 300 reports of hail yesterday and a few tornado reports and a few damaging wind reports. The tornado threat confined right now, at least the primary threat, from northern Illinois into Wisconsin. That threat should end shortly. And then to the south, it's more of a hail threat across Texas and damaging winds as well. This will arrive for us on Saturday, primarily focused on the afternoon. So here are the threats. Here's the timing for Saturday, roughly from 2 o'clock on the west side of the viewing area, exiting 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on the east side of the viewing area. The primary threat, damaging wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Now, in our level 2 threat zone from I-95 east, there's a very slim chance of an isolated brief weak tornado. We've got to be on the lookout for that. It's a small potential, but a potential nonetheless. Everybody has the potential for quarter-size hail and maybe some localized flooding. The rainfall totals, as you'll see coming up, are really not all that impressive out of the system. So let's take a look at futurecast again. Saw this at the top of the newscast. Saturday morning, we've got activities going on. We'll start the day with mostly cloudy skies, some showers, maybe an isolated storm. And during this time period, we're not expecting anything severe. There could be some gusty winds. That moves on out. There's the main event. And notice how it, as it approaches the triangle, it's disorganized. It's not all that strong. And you could tell by looking at the colors, they're not dark red, and they're not even purple. But you notice once it gets past the triangle during the afternoon, you'll see it will become more of a congealed line. It's more solid. And you'll see the echoes looking a little bit more menacing. There's purple showing up, some dark red. So I think in the level 2 zone, that's where there would be the better threat for severe weather, a little bit more widespread than, say, here in the triangle and points westward. That's where you would have an isolated brief weak tornado threat. This continues to move to the east. The evening hours look pretty good by 8 o'clock. Per the current timing, the system would be well to our east, so things will look good if you're going to go out for dinner Saturday night, maybe watch the Lyrid meteor shower that peaks around 9 o'clock. And rainfall potential, most of the models are saying about 4/10 to about a half inch. The European model's a little bit heftier with about 8/10 of an inch of rain. So again, I don't think there'll be a huge issue with any kind of flooding. Beautiful sunset over Lake Gaston, like Dan showed you over at the Beaufort Hotel cam there. WREL Gardens looking good. Clinton and Apex, what a fine afternoon. What a fine week. Warm afternoon, 81 right now out at RDU, 83 in Fayetteville. Will be a warm evening. 60 the low tonight in Raleigh, 59 Fayetteville, 58 in Roxborough. And tomorrow will be the final warm day that we're going to see for quite some time because we transition from that warmer weather Saturday to the cooler weather on Sunday. 73 and windy on Saturday with that threat for showers and storms, and then 60s for Sunday through next Thursday, maybe even beyond for highs. And then we have the next rain opportunity right now looking like a good chance, 60%. Not thunderstorms, just rain and maybe a cool rain.
Boy, very chilly. Yeah. Not even in the 70s.
Not at all.
Thanks, Mike.
We have some warmer weather in the time being, though. Families actually starting to make some trips to theme parks. Mm-hmm. That's typically happening this time of year. But we'll tell you about some changes that you'll notice next time you visit Carowinds coming up.
Carowinds now has a chaperone policy for children.
It starts right away. I mean, this weekend, kids as age 15 and younger will need a chaperone, someone who's at least 21 years old. This policy applies from 4 p.m. until the park closes, and the chaperone must show an ID at the entrance and be available through a cell phone throughout their stay while they're in the park. Any kid who breaks this rule could be kicked out of the park. You might be wondering, wow, this seems extreme. Why are they doing this? Well, Carowinds says that they've seen this uptick in unruly and inappropriate behavior over the last 2 years, giving us an example from this past Sunday where a 13-year-old got stuck in the claw machine while trying to steal a prize. That had to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, ouch.
I wonder if he got the prize. Several events in our area planned for this weekend are now rescheduled because of this threat of storms.
Including this one in Raleigh, the American Cancer Society Relay for Life is postponed. It was supposed to be Saturday at Halifax Mall. WRL's Brian Schrader is the event MC. The new date for the Relay for Life is May 20th. Spring means a lot of events are happening each week.
Yeah, WRAL lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan has some details on two festivals to check out this weekend.
Craft beer is the focus of the annual Brugaloo Festival in downtown Raleigh. The festival kicks off Friday night with a sampling event. On Saturday, the event continues on Fayetteville Street. There will be tons of vendors, food trucks, and entertainment. Admission is free on Saturday, but you will need to buy tickets to sample beer. Scientists of all ages will want to check out the Triangle SciTech Expo at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences on Saturday. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., there will be activities like paper airplane making and exhibits about robots and 3D printing. Admission is free. On Saturday morning, parents can take their children to enjoy a Disney classic at the Carolina Theater of Durham. The animated film Beauty and the Beast is being shown at 11:30 a.m. It's part of the Disney Quest film series. Tickets are $8. These are just a few ways to get out and about this weekend. Kathy Hanrahan, WRAL News.
All right, have some fun this weekend if you can dodge that weather.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. Have a great night, everybody.